This is Circe Olson-Westner, the Executive Director of the Museum of the American Military Family in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and this is our podcast, Schooling with Uncle Sam. I'm at the Overseas Brats Gathering in New Braunfels, Texas, and I am talking with a couple of brats. We've got Pat Lauder and we've got Jim Sains, and we had an earlier conversation about some unusual experiences going to field trips out into the economy, and both of you were in Germany.
Right.
And so I just wanted to ask you, you had mentioned that you had visited a concentration camp outside of Bamberg.
Bamberg, yeah. We went there in fifth grade. That was something that the teachers felt was very important that we go. And we had gone to the concentration camp. It was very eerie, and of course they weren't prettied up at that point. And I had a talk with one of the guards, and I asked him what it was like to be there, and he had said that they were only there 2 hours every 48 hours because of the impact it had on their lives.
How old were you?
I was in fifth grade, so 10 maybe, 11 at the time, and a couple months later we were at a German-American picnic thing that we did with the Germans and the Americans there in Bamberg, and this elderly German grandmother was saying something about, you know, how beautiful a day it was or something, and I, being the smart aleck I was, said, well, why did you let the Germans kill all those Jews? Yes, you know, stupid, but I said it. And so she said to my mother, tomorrow we go to the forest. And I thought, okay, that's it, I'm done, I'm a goner. And we went out to the forest, and we had a beautiful picnic and everything, and then she said, Pat, you come with me. And we went over by the mountain area there, and she said, now pull the bushes away, and I did, and there was caves there. And she explained to me that in Bamberg what they did is they got the Jewish people to the caves, and then there were people that went, that moved them from cave to cave until they got them into Switzerland to help them escape. It was quite a lesson for me because, you know, as a dumb child, I just assumed all Germans were involved in killing the Jews, and it showed me that there was a different side to the German people.
Well, and I think you were talking an experience going to Dachau.
Correct. Mine would have been 1950. We had just moved into Munich, and during the off-duty hours, we were traveling around looking at castles and sites and things like that, which were readily available because of being in Bavaria. And we took a trip out to the suburb of Dachau, and we walked in, and it was a fairly long walk from where we had to park. There was a fenced area on the side and a tree line, and we didn't pay any attention to it. But on the area that we covered, was very, very stark and very realistic, because nothing had been preserved. I mean, nothing had been changed. It had all been preserved, and you had the experimental tanks where they tested people's endurance for cold water, and you had the blood ditch, you had the ovens, you had the showers, you had the everything, the gallows and the shooting range. And as a young kid, it was just kind of a matter of fact. It really didn't have any real major impact on me. We picked up a booklet that was written in three languages called Nie wieder in German, which means never again. And I kept the book, and you know, I had no realization of what really had transpired there. Years later, even after studying it in school and everything, I had an occasion to go back to Germany in 1990 and see. And the first reaction I had when I walked in there was, oh my God, it's so sterile, because they had cleaned everything up. And I thought, people will never understand the impact that that place could have because they changed it. I understand the memorial. I understand we should do these things. But I thought, no, you needed to see what I saw. You needed to see it as its stark reality, and then see if you can comprehend the deniers and all these other people. However, in studying it while we were there and talking to people, we found out some interesting things. One of the reasons we did not go into the side where the barracks were because there were still prisoners. They weren't prisoners anymore. They were being cared for by the German government, and they actually stayed in the SS barracks, which were quite nice. Meanwhile, the old barracks were deteriorating, and they had no choice really to destroy them. But by destroying them, they took away the impact, you know. So I learned at the last incarceree, so to speak, was either died or was finally relocated out of Dachau about 1960, 61, something like that. But the German government took care of them. I mean, they knew the responsibility and they did their job. They was, you know, but again, it was just a young kid, you know, and seeing it. And as I learned about the lesson of the World War II, then what I remembered about my experience came home to roost, and it was really quite dramatic.
So you were there when in Bamberg.
The late 50s.
In the late 50s. Mm-hmm. You mentioned as a child you noticed the smell.
The smell in the camps was still there even in the late 50s, and that was almost 15 years since the war had ended. Yeah, about 15 years. And it, to me, the smell in the air was just, now I know what death smells like. Mm. Because it was just pungent. It was real, and that's what the guard had told me is why they could not. It was a haunting place, and that the American government, the soldiers that were there as guards, only stayed 2 hours every 48 hours because they felt that they just
the presence of it all
was just too overwhelming.
So, changing subjects just a little bit and going back to, you were there during the occupation time period.
Mm-hmm.
So, tell us what it was like being a kid going to school during this time,
1950-51. Uh-huh. It was different. First of all, we had to be bused to school. And if you check your time sequence, 1950 was only 5 years after the war ended. Munich was still a rubble. It was piles and piles and piles of rubble, and there were people picking up bricks and cleaning them and everything, little ladies trying to make enough money for food and all this kind of stuff. And our bus had an armed guard, and we had to drive through these areas because there was still animosity toward the Americans. We had to be, but we weren't aware of it. We were just kids, right? We were riding a bus, having a lot of fun. We were privileged. We didn't realize it at the time, but the government that put us over there, put us in free housing. They put us in government housing, which was quite classy, furnished, had a maid, had everything we needed practically. The kids were entertained. We were bussed out to the base for movies, and it was just a fun time. But again, we didn't suffer any of the consequences of being occupied. We were getting the benefits of it. We had a chance because where we were in Munich, we had a chance to see so much of Germany, not just the castles, but the land itself, the different cities. But there was one experience, and the newspaper is on my wall, framed. My wife framed it. In 1950, I attended at Kimsey Lake my first scout camp, 150 mm-hmm. kids, and we occupied one of the German generals' summer retreat home, and we had the run of the place. We had our GI tents, and we had soldiers there taking care of us, and campfires, swimming, finding ammunition in the lake, and because that's where the Navy had experience, was running training exercises, going out to the castle there at Kempsey and having all sorts of fun, just being Boy Scouts and things. But I remember that, and every day I go into my office, that Stars and Stripes page is sitting right there. Somewhere in that picture, I'm there.
It's very interesting to see what it was like back in the 50s. What is your best school memory that you can think of, or something noteworthy that you've carried with you all these years?
My fifth grade year, I got to go to German school for a year. And so I got the experience of going to an actual school with the Germans. My German was, I don't have it anymore, but it was very good back then. And you go to school from 8 in the morning to 12 noon, and it's all in composition books, and you're not allowed, it's not allowed to erase anything. If you make a mistake, you put a line through it. Then you come home at noon, and then you have homework that used to take me 5-6 hours to do all the homework. But I got to see how the German kids went to school compared to how we went to school.
So why did you go to the German school?
We had an exchange program. And it was really nice because then some of the German kids got to come on base and go to the American school. And so it was a nice combination. And I think that was some of my best experiences. The German people in Bamberg were just really glad the Americans were there. Of course, it was after the occupational part. And, you know, you could walk the streets and you'd go into a store and they were always glad to see you because they knew you were going to spend money, which helped their economy. And my mother had some beautiful clothes that she had custom made there. and you just, it was just, I guess I was at that perfect age, at that perfect time to be in a country and just get to learn all that.
Do you have any last thoughts before we close this?
No, some of the customs that our maids taught me about the Germans, I never forgotten. One of them was Christmas. They had St. Nicholas, who on Yuletide Day, December 6th, would walk the streets, and of course, behind him or around him would have been the devil. You know, and if you behaved on Christmas, your shoe would be filled with candy, or if you've been bad, it would be filled with switches. My shoe never got any candy.
Oh, that's so sad.
My shoe always had candy and switches, so maybe I was in between.
So, once again, this is Circe Olson-Wessner, the director of the Museum of the American Military Family, and I have been speaking to Pat Lauder and Jim Sains, and we're at the Overseas Brats Gathering Oktoberfest, so thank you guys very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.